Welcome to the headliner. I'm Kyle Kreis, at Kyle Kreis. I'm here bringing rock to the masses with the next generation of metalheads. We've got Justin Murillo. We've got Jacob Murillo in the house at Little Man 6. And we've got Brett Brady upside down at Spike ST. Gents, welcome to the headliner.
Hey, how you doing?
Yo.
I'm ready to rock. Are you guys ready to rock?
Heck yeah.
Woo!
The purpose of the show is to remind people why rock is here and why we're here celebrating rock music and all things rock, because the state of rock is kind of wishy-washy right now. I don't know. What do you guys think? I don't want to say rock is dead, but it's certainly not on the top of the hill in front of us all. Well, tell me why I'm right or wrong.
I definitely agree with you. I know there's a few bands out there, you know, kind of trying to really enforce that rock, bring it back. One band I'm really getting into right now is Steel Panther. You know, they just came out with their third album, or they're coming out with it in a couple weeks, and I know they're going on tour. But, yeah, there's definitely not that many bands, at least, you know, that are growing in popularity like Steel Panther is. They're probably one of the very few I could name right now. I know, you know, everyone's into hip hop and dance music and all that now.
No, we don't. Those are curse words.
I don't know what you just said. What? I think rock is full of hippie soccer mom pussified music right now.
Wait, let's not hold back our feelings. Tell me really what you think about what's going on.
If I did, I'd be fired from my job.
Speaking of Steel Panther, I'm not trying to name drop, but I did open for Steel Panther in Sacramento this year, and never before in my life have I seen chicks get naked voluntarily on the stage without like the police coming to shut it down or anything. So I do give respect to those guys. It was strictly comedy. Even their original songs, as serious as they are, it's full of laughs. So if you're not there to laugh at them, you're not in on the joke, right? Is that what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I think you definitely need to know what you're getting into before you go, because especially a lot of people who've never seen them, or they never really heard of them, they're kind of upset when there's not as much music as they're hoping. You know, they do kind of have a talking phase, and you know, of course the girls on stage, and some people get really offended.
They need more hairspray. They need a lot more hairspray. They only go through 10 cans. They need about 20 on stage.
I've seen the bass player, that's a wig, spoiler alert out there, and I don't know why he needs any hair product at all. It's a wig.
Well, have you seen that? That guy has Goldilocks hair. He needs it to look good no matter what, whether it's wig or not.
Do you think he goes through a different wig every show? Because imagine as much hairspray as he uses. Do you think it gets all hard and crusty and, like, how do they clean it or what?
These are good questions. If you out there know the Steel Panther answers, you can email me on Twitter at Kyle Kreis. Plus, this dude, he whips his... I know a little thing, too, about whipping my hair like Willow Smith. And this guy is going to have neck problems. If he doesn't already, believe me, they're coming soon. I already have them, and I don't even have half the hair that guy has.
I have them.
You have neck problems?
Oh, yeah.
Because you're always breaking backs?
Yeah, you know, I was taking it in the mouth probably as well, you know.
Whoa. Let's move on to today's headline in the rock world. You guys are Rolling Stone readers, of course, right? You can't be a rock fan and not subscribe to Rolling Stone. So I'm assuming you guys are both subscribers. Crickets. Oh, okay. No Rolling Stones. Well, let me tell you a thing or two about Rolling Stone. They love white rockers, okay? Crosby, Stills, and Nash, oh yeah, they're favorites. Bob Dylan, 5-star albums. John Lennon, rest his soul, is still better in their eyes than anyone putting out there today. So it should be no surprise, but yet it still is. The cover of the latest Rolling Stone. The Pope!
What?
The Pope!
What? The Pope.
The Pope. This is the first time they've had a virgin on the cover since Hanson.
That's pretty awesome. Has he been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
The Pope?
Yeah.
No. What was his last big single that I may have heard?
I believe Rock and Roll Jesus.
Rock and Roll Jesus? It was a Kid Rock cover. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I know that the goal of Rolling Stone is to sell magazines, right? We've seen terrorists on the cover. We've seen movie stars on the cover. We've seen presidents. But I think the Pope has gone a little bit too far. I mean, no wonder rock isn't cool anymore. If the Pope is more sellable on the cover of Rolling Stone than, you know, Imagine Dragons or Avenged Sevenfold combined, what does that say about rock? I don't know. You guys tell me. What do you think about the rock, the Pope on the cover?
Wait. Isn't this guy kind of a badass, though? Isn't he, like, the first neo-Nazi pope?
No. The last pope was the Nazi pope. This is the...
Last pope?
That was the last pope.
There's a new pope?
Yes, you're one pope behind. There's still...
What?
Yeah, he died.
No.
He didn't die.
No. The last pope retired. He was the first pope in 600 years to retire.
That's right.
He's Who's like this the pope? What has he done?
this pope is... this pope drives a Harley. He just auctioned off his Harley for $300,000.
All right. So he's a biker. Okay, so what? He's like the fifth member of ZZ Top? What?
I don't think he has a beard. Are you allowed to grow a beard? Can you have a bearded pope?
I don't know. I've never seen it. They always kind of have the same look.
Jesus had a beard?
That's true.
When did you hang out with Jesus?
But Jesus wasn't a pope.
Last week, dude. Last week, he had a guitar. He was singing something about cocaine. That's Jesus, right?
You're thinking about the guy on Sunset Boulevard, right? The guy that walks around like Jesus.
You know, he did say I was Glenn Danzig, so I like the guy.
I think he's just looking for money for beers. I've seen him out there by the House of Blues and the Comedy Store, and if you buy him a beer, he will bless you, I think. You do remember, though, I mean, in the Pope's defense, you do remember... the last pope, he sparked an international heist. Someone stole the pope's blood, and it was created like an Ocean's 14 type scandal, except without any of the stars. So it's like this pope is kind of like a rock star. If you're going to steal his DNA, I mean, has anyone ever stolen like a rock star's DNA? Well, there was that dentist who has Mick Jagger's hair.
Right. I'm pretty sure a lot of chicks from the 80s have a lot of DNA from some of those rockers. A lot of DNA. There's a couple kids walking around, I'm pretty sure, that has their DNA.
Do you think they actually saved the DNA, though? Like, do they have it handy, or is it they had it at a time?
Well, I mean, you know, you could dump it into a water bottle afterwards, right?
Is that what happens? I don't know. Like, you talk about the 80s, and I can't say I've been a rocker my whole life, and I never, ever once... got chicks out of it. So I don't know, you know, maybe in the 80s you're talking about it's a different time. What happened to the women now? I don't know why their DNA collecting isn't a thing anymore. Is that a thing? Jacob, you're on the hot rock scene right out there, right? How many ladies are coming up to you wanting to know a little bit more about you?
Well, probably I'd say an average of two or less a show.
A show.
I think you're exaggerating. Two a show?
That is kind of a lot, but, you know.
All right, look, the one thing that I've known being a rocker and going to shows and being around, the chicks don't care. The moment I put on, like, a fake bitch ring, all of a sudden the chicks are there. You either need to know higher-up rock stars, you need to have a bitch ring, or you need to look like you have money, which we don't.
Tell me about this ring. I don't know. I've never heard of the bitch ring you speak of.
So I'm wearing a bitch ring, pretty much.
Can we point that to the camera? Oh, that looks just like a wedding ring.
I call it my bitch ring. It's my be good ring, but also my anti-stress ring. The moment I start wearing this, all of a sudden every chick is looking at me. I have no clue why. Either I got money pouring out of my pockets, I got a big bulge in my pants, which I'm not sure about that really, or they're paying attention to this. I don't know. It's very confusing.
I like how you're like, oh, I'm not sure if I have it. Like, you haven't measured your junk. You know, I know you know exactly. Right? Everyone say exactly how big. Go ahead.
10.
What?
I measure in centimeters, so I don't.
10,
I don't,
right?
Metrics. No, there's no metric system. This is American rock and roll. You don't, when you count 1, 2, 3, 4, you're not like a decimeter, centimeter, right?
Well, I only had an 8-inch ruler and it ran out of room, so I guess 10.
All right, enough of this.
Can we go back to the Pope for one second,
yes,
though?
Yes,
you bring
please.
Up an image of the Pope?
Yes, there's the Pope on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Okay, I want everybody to look at the Pope for a second. Look at him really close. It may be a trick to make you think he looks like Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York. But if you look at him, paint him in black and white face paint. Give him a tall hat. This is a conspiracy because really, that's the lead singer of Ghost BC. That's Papa.
Hey, if that guy came out on stage with the makeup, I'd be all in with the white garment, the hat.
Did you see that sex toy set that Ghost was selling for a while? For $400, you got a female, you know, pleasure vibrator with some anal stimulation as well. Did anyone buy those? Did you hear of anyone buying them? They went $400 each.
I don't know anyone that can buy $400 worth of sex toys, period. I don't know.
Well, it was shaped like him. It was shaped like the Pope.
Was that just for the name? It was $400 because it had the name on it?
No, or? It was shaped like Papa.
Oh, okay.
It was called the Big Papa.
You know what? If it was looked like Paul Stanley or Gene Simmons, and we could have knocked the price down to $100, I would have had the entire collection.
Yeah.
Well, it would be called the God of Thunder as well.
I think that's something we could see coming up soon. I'm sure they'll get that.
Kiss condoms are already out.
Yeah, I know. I've seen those.
Kiss condoms. Which member of Kiss condom would you wear?
Well, I think the cliche choice would be Gene Simmons, you know, the long tongue, long condom. But I've also seen Paul Stanley studded condoms, and those seem pretty interesting to me.
If you like a little pain.
I think I'd go with Paul Stanley. You know, if I chose the other members, they're not the originals anymore, so unless they actually come out with like an Ace Frehley, you know, it'd be like vintage. Maybe I'd use that.
Yeah, right. Today the Ace Frehley condom would be a double XL, you know. It would not for the length, but because you just it's what I'm saying is he got big is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I think you're saying it'd be a triple X small, right? Like does it shrink as you get bigger?
The bigger your gut gets, the more your turtle gets hidden, right?
See, I don't know about wearing Gene because Gene has a tongue. What does a tongue have to do with condom? And the Paul, he has rhinestones. That gives off the wrong message. What if you're a dude wearing rhinestones on a condom? That's telling me you're in the wrong part of town.
I don't know. I don't know much about condoms because I haven't worn one since like Clinton was in office.
You wore one?
Are you guys ready for the first game of the show?
Woo!
Yeah.
Speaking of Rolling Stone, the other thing that they love more than old pasty white rockers are mediocre, bland record reviews. Okay, if you get higher than a 3 stars, that's saying you're the greatest. If you get lower than a 3 stars, I guess that's still saying you're mediocre. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a portion of the review, and I need you to buzz in and tell me, is it a 3-star review or is it a 3.5-star review? Are you ready?
Let's do it.
First, we've got Broken Bells review for their album After the Disco. It says here by John Dolan, the follow-up feels more cohesive with tighter songs and a stronger mood. Like the Shins underrated 2012 album Port of Morrow, the tellingly titled After the Disco is at once sleek and world-weary, often homing in on that sexy moment of malaise when the 70s wanted to turn into the 80s so badly.
Bing.
Bing! Jacob, what tell me.
I'm going to say 3.5.
You're right! That is a 3.5-star review!
All right.
I'm a little confused by the 70s to the 80s. So did that band decide to groom their pubes a little bit? Is that what they decided to do?
It's unknown. I don't know. We can't tell. Are they saying that's a good thing going 70s to 80s or is it a bad thing? I don't know. It sounds mediocre and a 3.5-star review would confirm that. Let's go. Let's move on. Here we've got a Brooklyn guitar trio called Hospitality. Their album is Trouble on the Merge album. The review from John Dolan again is, On the synth-driven inauguration, singer-guitarist Amber Pepini tells off a worthless boy while Barack Obama gets sworn in on TV. It's a great song for loveless lovers. Brett, is that what's the rating on that?
Hold on, they went off against Obama. That cannot be in a 3.5. That has to be a 3.
You're wrong. That's a 3.5 star rating.
That's not right.
Look, you know the Rolling Stone guys love Obama, so if it comes up in the review, that has to be a positive review.
Well, the whole review itself just sounded terrible from the first words in the
Whoa. I think this guy knows what he's writing. I mean, he said synth. Did you not hear the review before?
Yeah, that turned me off when you said synth.
I don't know what you're hearing, man. I don't know. That sounds like a grade A review to me. Grade A, like Imagine Dragons quality.
Hey now, you can't knock on the band that was the only band to sell over 1 million albums in 2013. I mean, come on now. I mean, look, Imagine Dragons sold more than Stone Sour, Chevelle, Death Punch.
And they were the only band that still had those records on the shelves the entire time at Best Buy.
Oh, point. Let's move on. We've got a review for the album Beach House by Ty Dolla Sign. The review from Christopher Weingarten. Over a handful of well-received mixtapes and tons of guest spots, Los Angeles artist Ty Dolla Sign's sing-along has maintained a perfect balance of comforting croon and pickup artist kink.
Bing.
Jacob.
I'm going to go 3.5.
Ding, ding. No. This is only a 3-star review. Can't you tell? We're talking about...
He said kink.
Kink.
Kink has no place in rock and roll, apparently, so it has to... And Ty Dolla.
Ty Dolla.
Does he wear a giant dollars bill sign?
I don't know, but it looks like Dolla is his middle name and Sign is the last name. Oh, and don't forget the dollar sign in the S of Sign.
Of course.
Wow, like churches with a V. Great job.
Look, once you look at you're knocking. You can't knock our artist. The churches with a V is like that's like Beatles with a BEA, right?
Yeah, sure.
You do know Beatles is originally spelled BEET.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
No.
Well, I think they changed it to the A because they wanted it to be like beat, like, you know, good music. You got the beat.
That reminds me of healthy food. I don't like that. I don't like thinking that way.
They wanted a double meaning, like beat and then, you know, the insect or whatever, little critters. They were inspired by Billie Holiday and the crickets.
Whoa.
Because cricket is also, you know, a sport. So
what's wrong with a bee, though? A bee means like you're about to sting someone. You're after someone. You're going to be hard hitting. They wanted to go away from that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying the Beatles, and it would have been a double bug tundra. You would have had the Beatles, like the thing that it crawls around, and then the Beatles, it would have been like the buzzy flying things.
Yeah.
And it would have been like, the emblem could have been like bees fighting Beatles.
And no healthy food anywhere. None of those things. None of those beets.
No beets.
No beets.
No beets as in the red food.
Yeah.
None of those Beatles.
Yeah. That has no place in rock and roll. None.
I like how you're thinking. Let's move on. Enough of the Rolling Stone trivia. Let's move on to page 2. Metallica. They've canceled their huge Orion Music and More Festival for the past 2 years. Metallica has brought together artists as diverse as
Metallica.
Metallica. And I think they had, on the other end, I think they had jam bands. And they I don't think they had the Mumford kind of bands, but they may have had a banjo band. And I think they had everything. It was everything from horror to horrible sweaters. But now,
sounds about right.
It's done. They're not doing it because they lost money. Metallica can't make money on a festival. What do you guys even do the festival things? What do you guys do? Festivals or stay away from festivals? Tell me.
I personally like festivals. You know, they have good lawn tickets. Because usually going to a festival, it's like, you know, I'll go if there's like one or two bands. And like, I like them a lot. But it's not worth paying $800, whatever, to be in the pit. So And especially if it's two bands out of a whole day, you know, I'll be in lawn, hang out, whatever. But I figured they're losing money because, like you're saying, they have all these different types of bands. People that are into what Metallica's doing, they want probably more music like Metallica. They're holding a festival with jam bands, which I guess they're kind of jam style sometimes. But if it's not complete metal, it's like no one wants to go.
Are you going to go see an all? Are you like if the festival was Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, I don't know, you name it. Like if it was just all heavy duty, that going to get like you're not going to get any chicks? Period. Right.
Well, that's like the big four what they had a couple of years ago. I went to that and I liked them all a lot. I got general admission because you know, like I was saying, the front is expensive, but there was a good number of people there, and you know they started in Europe, and I they made the DVD. I think they sold out a lot of the shows, and they had the one in California, and it was pretty packed. There was girls, all ages, guys,
really?
All ages.
See,
yeah.
The good thing about festivals is you get all sorts of different music, so you don't just get, say, the heavy thrash chicks or just dudes, which honestly it's mostly dudes.
Yeah.
It may be a sausage fest. But if you have, say, the punk bands, maybe the goth band, maybe a juggalo here and there, you get all sorts of people and then you get chicks everywhere. Tons of chicks. I used to be a festival guy for that reason. Until all the bands sucked and then I left.
I see what you're saying, but I kind of disagree. When I go to a festival, like, if I go to a festival that's headlining, I went to Mayhem when it was headlining Rob Zombie, and Korn was there. A band I like a lot called Hatebreed was one of the openers. You know, that's all kind of thrash style. When I'm going for that style, that's kind of all I want to hear that day. Like, I'm prepared for that. I don't want to hear all these other styles playing. Then I start to get bored. Then I'm like, I don't want to watch this band. I want to see the next band play.
Wait, you're listening to the bands? I'm looking at the chicks. I thought that was the point, right?
How many bands do you have to like? Like, for instance, Rocklahoma just announced their lineup. We've got, and this is a 3-day festival, and the headliners are Kid Rock, Death Punch, and Staind. And you also got in the lineup Twisted Sister, Deftones, Seether, Filter, Black Label Society, Theory of a Dead Man, on and on and on. We're talking 24 bands on the lineup. How many of these bands do you have to like for you to put down, I don't even know how much it costs, but let's say if for you and a date, it's going to be $200 for tickets, $20 to park, and you're probably going to spend $80 on food and stuff while you're there. So you're dropping almost $400 on this weekend. How many bands do you have to want to see to go to something like a Rocklahoma or a Rock on the Range or even a Coachella?
My question is, how long do I have to stand for?
Well, I mean, if you're right, where are there seats in the? I know if you go to Rock on the Range, there's no seats.
No, see, that's the problem. Is like even with the lawn, you got people moshing everywhere. You can't really sit down because you're in pretty much in the crossfire as it is. So unless you dish out for those high end seats, I would say if you're gonna go, you got to be there for at least probably 10 of the higher up headliner bands, not just the lower end, because they're on stage for what, 20, 30 minutes.
Exactly. Even the headliners are doing what, 30, 40?
Yeah. Well, in the lawn, you could sit in between bands. People aren't moshing when they're changing. You said Twisted Sister. Are they one of the opening bands?
Well, I mean, they're not a headliner. I mean, they'll probably do their 30-minute set.
I mean, I'd probably go just for them, you know. Not for the price you said, but but like I was saying, general admission. You know, usually opening bands, at least a lot of the festivals I go to, they play different stages, and that's pretty much no matter what ticket you have, it's all standing, so you go as close as you want. To pay the price you're talking about, I'd probably need to like all the headliners, or if it's a band I really like a lot, I've paid around $300 a ticket just for one band.
Which band? You got to say what band that was.
Please don't be Imagine Dragons. Please don't be Imagine Dragons.
That would have to be Motley Crue.
Oh wow, wow. Okay.
Who are they?
What was the most? What's the biggest ticket you bought, Brett? What's the most expensive ticket you've bought?
$100.
And who was that?
Rammstein. It was all the way up at the top, too.
At what? At the Universal?
No. That was at the Forum in Inglewood. That was the possibly the most unsafe show I'd ever gone to. And then I got inside with all the pyrotechnics and the fire, and then I felt actually safe for once. but you brought up a good thing, though. You said bands are on two stages, right? Usually they have a couple side stages. Here's a problem with festivals, and maybe both of you guys know this. What if you have a band you want to see on stage A, but there's a band you want to see just as much as stage B, but they have the same time?
Well,
what do you do?
Okay, the festival I went to when I went to Mayhem, they had the two stages next to each other. So basically they'd have one band playing on stage A, and then stage B, band setting up. So that way it's one after the other. They're not playing at the same time.
The only problem we get with like these big Europe ones are they have them at the same time.
Right. Which... they did that at Sunset Music Festival, which that kind of sucked. But I guess you just choose which ones you like better.
Well, now what about something like Warped Tour? Should they be excluded from these other festivals? Because Warped Tour is, you know, you get there, you don't know when the bands are going to play. You're kind of just showing up for the experience. There might be one band, like I know Brett would like to see Black Veil Brides, but...
But
you don't know when the bands are going to go on. You're kind of just going for the entire experience. Is Warped Tour, and Warped Tour is also cheaper, is that right?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I would say that in the sense of Ozfest, when I've went, that was kind of the setup there. It was kind of the same thing. I just went for it.
So why is Metallica belly up then? How come you have all these festivals that are working? We've got Rock on the Range every year. It's a big event. Rocklahoma, Coachella is sold out in record time. But then you got Metallica Festival that isn't going well. You've got... these other festivals, touring festivals like Aftershock, where they have to put six bands on the lineup or they can't, you know, sell tickets. What's the bottom line here? Why are some successful and some aren't?
You know what it could be? When you're talking about the festival that Metallica has, you were saying they have jam bands, right? They have metal bands, whatever they have. But you didn't say any specific names. Maybe they're not getting any good headlines.
Well, let's see if we can find out who was on their lineup.
I think they need to sell more merch. I think we need Metallica condoms sold at every merch booth for about $10 each. They'll make their money back.
You would buy a Metallica condom?
No, but probably someone would.
If you get a Lars one with a receding hairline.
If you get the Lars, you get the Lars one, and he yells at you for downloading. So
Whoa! It comes with a free download with every condom. Free download of Lars yelling at you not to download the music.
See, my problem is I usually download before I get the condom on, so I can't.
You put the condom on?
Once again, this was 90s behavior. I don't.
And we're back to the condom talk.
So the question is rock dead? All right, Metallica can't do a festival. The bands on our countdown that we deal with. While they're selling great compared to me, like let's see, my band sold what's 10 times zero? $0. So yeah, these bands are selling tens of thousands of albums, but they're not selling millions of albums. Okay, we've had in the top 10 albums of 2013, only one was a rock album. That was Imagine Dragons. They sold 1.4 million, and the only rock band to go platinum is hard rock being ignored? What's going on with rock today? I mean, you still have Avenged Sevenfold. They're having hit singles. Five Finger Death Punch has had big hit singles. Alice in Chains still out there, but they're not selling, and they're not being represented at the Grammys or places like that. What is it, a snub, or is rock a fringe genre?
I don't think it's just rock. I think it's just albums and CDs in general. People just aren't buying them. I mean, maybe rock is being hit harder. Like we were mentioning at the beginning, people aren't really into it as much. But I think CDs in general are just going on a decline.
What was the last album you both bought?
Mine would be Steel Panther's last album, Balls Out.
And so how long ago was that?
Uh, I think it was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
So the last album you bought in 2 years, you bought one album in the past 2 years.
Well, it's not just the album factor that, you know, CDs. I like CDs a lot. I like LPs. I like tapes, you know, collecting everything for bands I like. It's just, I'm more into like the 80s style rock. I like a lot of the bands that don't really come out with new stuff anymore. But like I said, Steel Panther's coming out with their album, so I'm going to buy it.
I would say in all of this that maybe rock has been dispersed a little bit. It's a little too edgy for the world. The world is a very politically correct world. You can't really say too much. You can't be a little too angry. You can't be too violent. And what is more violent and edgy and angry than rock and roll? I think it's just a little bit everywhere. I mean, even, you know, just I think people are scared of it. That's why we have these hippie pussified bands. Like Imagine Dragons and bands like that.
I wonder if it, but do are rock fans to blame? If Jacob hasn't bought an album in 2 years, I know you do the Best Buy run every week, pretty much.
I do it every week, and I'm going to club shows every other week, every other month. Last three albums I picked up were Stone Sour, Alkaline Trio's new album, which is fantastic, and Calibri's, their new album, Born with the Scorpion's Touch. And just killer albums, all three.
Do you think rock fans shoulder some of the blame of this? I mean, like for just even here in the studio, it's like, oh, Pearl Jam had a new album, and it kind of goes over our heads. We kind of miss, you know, there's no big event anymore. Like, oh, the new Pearl Jam album's coming out. That kind of went over our heads. Here in the 6N studio, Alice in Chains the same way. They're coming out with records, and even the rock fans aren't excited about them. If rock fans aren't going to be excited about the new Pearl Jam album, who the hell is? Do rock fans shoulder the blame?
I think you're right. Like, there's really no big push for these albums anymore. No one's really putting them out there like, hey, look, in a month you're going to have the new Alice in Chains album. You find it at Target 6 months later, tucked into a little tiny corner, or you go to Best Buy and it's not even in the new release section. It's back in the Alice in Chains section, and you can't really find it. I would say that, and plus, I don't think maybe record companies are pushing the correct songs from albums. They're picking the quieter songs, the nicer songs, like a Green Day Oh Love, as opposed to a Green Day Nuclear Family.
These are good points. Here's a little fun fact for you. If you don't know this or not, but 74% of all MP3s on iTunes sell less than 10 copies. All right. So there's millions of artists up there. That means 3 out of every 4 are selling less than 10 copies. I can tell you the Teenage Prayer, both albums are in that category, less than 10. So go support the Teenage Prayers on iTunes, or LA Rocks if you're at it. You can support both of my bands. Anyway,
do it.
What does it take to get new rock into our hands? I mean, I've seen the Foo Fighters twice. I buy their albums. I've seen the Black Keys. I've spent my money on their tickets. I've bought their album. But even I'm not out there with every single band. One of my favorites of all time, Bruce Springsteen, he came out with an album earlier this month. I've still yet to check it out. Why can't we get excited about new music the way that we love our favorite albums? If Dr. Feelgood came out today, you would expect it to sell 10 million copies. But there's probably a Feelgood that's out there, the equivalent of, that's not getting the sales because of lack of interest. Why do we love our older stuff more than we love the stuff today, even if it's the same artists?
You know what it is? I think record companies and bands aren't putting as much money into it to promote it as they should, because they know it's not going to do that much because everyone's downloading now. I think something that helps, not sells, but just to get your music into other people's hands is free downloads. I saw a Super Bowl commercial where U2 promoted their new single, and it was free download for 24 hours.
Yeah, and that got 3 million downloads for free. Now, is that a lot? I would say yes, that's a lot, but maybe by U2 standards, 3 million downloads may not be a lot. They're used to, you know, tens of millions. If you said U2, their new single's free, and 3 million people downloaded it, like, if you said that in 1990, you'd be like, what, only 3 million? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, 20 million people were buying those albums back in the day. Now, a free single gets $3 million, and that's a cause of celebration. I don't know.
Did either one of you get that, by the way, that song? Did either one of you download it?
I'm not a YouTube fan at all.
So wait, so even a free song though, we won't download from YouTube.
Well, if it's a band I like, I will.
See, there we go.
I never liked YouTube, so I didn't download it.
Maybe it's that we don't spend as much time with these albums. We get an album, we're like, okay, let's listen to it. All right, toss it aside, as opposed to spending so much time with it like we did our older albums.
I still do that. I listen to albums over and over all the way through. I'm not a big fan of singles because I get annoyed listening to the radio, hearing the same ones over and over again. I still listen to my Balls Out CD that I bought. I listen to it beginning to end.
I hear that Tiger Woods dude, man, he has some bad stuff coming to him.
Oh, it's a good song, though. I listen to my Saints of Los Angeles album beginning to end a lot. Same thing with the older stuff, because Kyle, you mentioned some people don't like even the older bands we like, their new stuff. I still do. I like Saints of Los Angeles the same as Dr. Feelgood, the same even as Generation Swine. I know a lot of people didn't like that album, but...
I'll add one person to the list that liked that album. That would be me. That was actually my first Motley album, was Generation Swine, which a certain person here in the studio would probably laugh at me for. But you know, that's another good point. Some albums actually being as good as prior albums. I think a lot of albums are being rushed by certain record companies that's been, you know, told to us a little offhand by, say, Slipknot on their last album. It was rushed out before it was done, and then they're like, oh, I guess we shouldn't have let a record company push it out there. You know, wait till your record is done to get it out there. Korn's last album, The Paradigm Shift, fantastic album. Probably one of their best in years. In years. Just as good as maybe Follow the Leader or even their original self-titled. And I think it's because they spent enough time fine-tuning it.
All right. Go ahead with the final word, Jacob. Tell me.
I was just going to say, I'd also like to say... another thing about albums, how if I think it kind of depends on the how many hits they have. If they're rushing out their albums, a lot of times people only buy songs because, you know, of a single that was released. They're like, oh, I like this one song, so maybe I'll buy the album. But if they're just throwing songs out there and they haven't really promoted the songs or anything like that, then no one's really interested in it because... there's not very many people now that I know of that listen to an album from beginning to end.
So the bottom line, if rock isn't dead, whose job is it to revive it? Is it the bands to make better music than they are now? Or is it the fans to be out there finding music, consuming it, not necessarily buying it, maybe we're stealing it.
We got to review it first before we tell people. But are we even telling people? If you hear a great band, are you pushing in someone's face and be like, here, listen to this? Or we just keep it to ourselves and we're like, yeah, it's a pretty good album. We enjoy it. Do we tell anybody?
I promote bands that I buy. So if there's a band, because I only buy their CDs and stuff if I really like them, if I can listen to it from beginning to end, because I'm not into buying a $10 or $20 CD for two songs or three songs. So like I was saying, one band I'm really into now that's releasing stuff is Steel Panther. I buy their stuff. I tell a lot of people about them and I show them the music. I invite them to the shows. And
they're great shows.
Yeah, especially because, you know, they play House of Blues all the time. You get to be up close and it doesn't cost a whole lot of money.
We're going to take the first step right here on the show right now.
Uh-oh.
We're getting worried about Steel Panther. Everyone should go listen to Steel Panther. Kyle needs to listen to Steel Panther. I'll listen to Steel Panther on my way home today. You, sir, and you, sir, you should both listen to a band that I've been listening to over the last few months, Crash Diet.
Crash Diet. I know those guys, yeah.
Kind of 80s metal, mixing with a little bit of punk rock, a little kind of like trash, grunge, punk attitude, and just phenomenal.
I'll recommend something too. Let's see. I will recommend you guys to pick up the. What will I recommend?
Teenage
Prayers. What's
that? Who? Teenage Prayers.
No, I will not recommend my own band, the Teenage Prayers, available on iTunes and Amazon and SoundCloud maybe.
Bandcamp.
Bandcamp. Did we do
Reverb
Bandcamp?
Nation.
I don't know.
You should
Reverb
do
Nation. There's so many places to get my music illegally or not for paying.
Yeah, but let's not promote that one. Give us another one.
MySpace. I think our MySpace page is still up there.
All right.
Here, I'll tell you a band. Let me just look right now And I will say that, you know what? I've had these guys in the studio. They're from the Bay Area. It's more of like a, it's more like a bluesy garage sound. It's more Black Keys than Black Sabbath, but the Soft White 60s out of San Francisco. I met their nice guys. I had them in here, and they need every last download or purchase that you can offer. So check them out, and go to sixthsense.com to see them play acoustically live here in the Sixth Sense studio. Now it's time for our history lesson. Run, run, run. All right, school is in session. We have two big history lessons on the docket today. First off, the one that you can't go anywhere without reading or seeing about it, the Beatles' 50th anniversary of Coming to America. This is not to be confused with the Eddie Murphy, right, Arsenio Hall movie, also named Coming to America. This was back in 1964. The Beatles played... Ed Sullivan.
Sure.
You may remember it sounding like this. All right, we don't own the rights, so that's all you get, a little bit like that. 50 years ago this month, do you two even know who the Beatles are, I guess is the first question.
The Big Bad Beetleborgs?
No.
Never remind me of that show. That show is so horrible.
Yeah, you know, of course I know the Beatles. Did you guys watch the anniversary last night?
I didn't. And unfortunately, since this is online, last night does not mean last night that you watched this. We're talking Sunday, the February 9th, the 50th anniversary of the date itself, the huge concert on CBS, the Grammy concert, which happened here in LA, although none of us got to go see it.
I didn't even know it happened.
You know what's funny about how you just mentioned that? I said last night, and they're not hearing it, you know, the next day. I actually read that show was recorded on January 22nd.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, the hosts are all talking today, February 9th, and so it wasn't being happening that day. So
it was last night, a month ago.
Yeah.
That's what we call TV magic. I'm an industry insider. I can tell you that that's called TV magic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brett, you know who the Beatles are, right?
Yeah, they're that band with Keith Richards, right?
I'm sorry. I was coughing. I couldn't hear it. What was that?
Band with Keith Richards, right? They got the haircut or something?
They got the haircut, but it's not the Keith Richards.
Oh, wait. Sebastian Bach's in the band, right?
So, well, that's a little bit later.
No. Are they that band that says, "I want to hold your hand"? Is that them?
That was them. You don't know that song. You just heard it because I was just playing it right now.
No, I kind of know this. I'm ashamed, okay?
The importance of the Ed Sullivan appearance is twofold. Number one, 70-some million people tuned into that. You know how many people watched the finale of Breaking Bad? 10 million, okay? And that was like supposed to be the most important thing of our generation, but this literally was the most important event of a generation. Some may say rock and roll was born then. I know we had Elvis, the Beach Boys, and that before, but when we saw the Beatles on TV, not that I was there, I wasn't, surprising, I may look that like I'm 60 years old, unfortunately I'm about half that age, but they wrote their own songs, they played their own instruments, and people were into that for some reason. I don't know. Like today, it's the opposite, right? Play your own instruments, write your own songs. Right. Oh, gross.
There's no lip syncing at all. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know if there was lip syncing on Ed Sullivan. There may have been.
So they didn't pull a Lord, is what you're telling me.
Oh, you don't like Lordy, huh? No?
I'm just saying. I hear there's a video viral right now of a 7-foot-tall clown singing her song and does a way better job. It might be Pogo. I don't know.
Okay. All right. The other big historical event from this month, besides the Beatles, is Green Day's album Dookie.
Woo!
Has turned 20 years old. Can you believe it's been 20 years old? That means for the two of you, you were were you second trimester or third trimester when this album came out?
I was in kindergarten.
You were. Oops, I lost the TV. You were in kindergarten.
I was in kindergarten.
And you can remember. You remember Dookie?
I do. My sister had the album. I played it every day.
I was one.
You were
what?
One.
I was one. Oh God, now I feel old. All right.
What I remember about the album Dookie was working third shift at a convenience store, the Unimart, at State College, Pennsylvania. That album got me through some of those late nights. Also, about $20 worth of Snickers and Milky Ways each night. That got me through the overnights. In your eyes, what's more important to you personally? Because we know you're not necessarily the biggest Beatles fans here. What's more important, the Beatles' 50th anniversary or the Green Day 20th anniversary, in your personal opinions?
I'd have to say the Beatles. And I don't think this really depends on which band you like more. I think it's more how much they impacted music in general. I mean, there's so many bands, especially ones I like, that they all mentioned, you know, they're really influenced by the Beatles or something that happened that affected their lives. And so I do like the Beatles a lot too, though. But I'd say the Beatles.
I'm going to go to the other side here. I will go with Green Day. That album, even though it wasn't their first album, it did bring upon the punk revival of the 90s. You had bands like Rancid, Offspring, sadly Blink-182, and other bands followed that actually kind of brought back a lot of edginess into rock and roll. Honestly, that's just coming from, I just don't care about the Beatles. I really don't.
Why? Why do you have no interest in maybe the most important band in rock and roll history? Why does that just not spark any passion with you?
Honestly, they're just dinosaurs. They're from that age that I have no connection to. I cannot listen to a song like I Want to Hold Your Hand and Be Happy. Maybe I want to listen to Basket Case instead.
What about Revolution? That's a kind of hard song for that time.
No, nothing.
He doesn't even know. Believe me, nope. He doesn't even know the song.
Nope.
Now, some hardcore LA punks might say, Green Day? Because your argument is Green Day brought about all this great new wave of punk music. But I would say, if you talk to these original LA punks out here, they would say, Green Day, that's not punk, that's pop. Where's the Germs? Where's the...
These are the same LA punks that you'll catch at a Less Than Jake show like I saw recently.
What are you trying to say? Is that bad? No, don't start dissing Less Than Jake.
You know how it is in the punk scene. If you become successful, you're not punk anymore. That's how it is. All those guys were listening to Green Day when that album came out. I'm not saying they're total punk rock anymore, but they do have punk origins, and it was just a fucking awesome album.
What's the best part? Let me pull it up right now. It's right. It's got to be this bass line, right? It's got to be this. Oh, it's not in. All right, like I said, we don't own these music rights.
Yeah, we don't want to lose this video.
And I just realized that you didn't hear the Ed Sullivan announcement earlier in the show when I said, listen to this. You were supposed to hear. Oh, I can't. It's all technical difficulties.
See, look, that shows you how much more important Green Day is. They just completely overthrew Ed Sullivan. He's out the door, off the computer.
That's because I can't get two things working at once. You can't have, you know, YouTube run at the same time as iTunes. Like, whatever. Enough said. Are you ready for the second quiz of the show?
Yes, let's do it.
I'm going to describe an event, and you have to tell me whether the Beatles did this or Green Day did this. Okay, in honor of our rock history lesson, we'll see what you guys have learned. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Woo. This band, after every concert, their singer kissed a boy.
Bing.
Jacob.
Green Day.
Green Day, correct. Why? Now, how'd you know that?
Well, I just kind of guessed. I figured the Beatles has multiple singers, for one, so it wasn't really specific. And it just didn't seem like something they would do. I don't know.
Oh, well, gut instinct was correct.
I mean,
I thought the Beatles would have kissed each other, but I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, I guess, you know, we didn't get the Ed Sullivan thing through, but if you heard the screams, it's pretty intense. I don't think they need to kiss a boy when they have all those girls there.
All right. How about this? The first album their singer bought was Elvis Presley's The Sun Sessions.
Bing.
Jacob.
Beatles.
Wrong. Green Day. Why is Billy Joe Armstrong buying Elvis? Is that his first album? I don't get that.
Well, actually, if you look at the way Billy Joe dresses nowadays, he kind of looks like Elvis. He's got like the striped shirt. Usually he has kind of like the bigger coat on, kind of like snazzy.
How about this? None of the members of this band know how to read music.
Bing.
Brett.
Beatles.
Correct. Do you need to read music? Those guys wrote the best songs in the world.
Is that they don't know how to read music?
I did my research off of multiple fact checking engines, including Google and Wikipedia.
I trust Wikipedia.
Wow, I thought Paul and John. I thought they went to music school.
What I read was that Paul took piano lessons, but never like couldn't stick with it to actually learn how to read music. They knew chords on the guitar and on the piano, but they couldn't say like look at all the little notes and then be like. Boop, boop, yeah. boop, 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 boop.
You know, if anything, that makes them more punk rock than anything. All they knew were chords. All they knew were power chords, right?
So now you're saying the Beatles are cool?
No, not really.
No,
no.
You're saying the Beatles were more punk rock than Green Day?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying they're a little bit more punk. Period. They're still not cool.
I don't think you need to know how to read music to write music, as long as you have a good ear.
But you would think you'd have to know how to read music to write the best music. Well, those are so great songs.
Maybe. I mean, I'm obviously the music I write is nothing close to the best music, but, and I do know how to read music, but when I write, I'm not like composing. I don't have sheet music in front of me and writing it down. I just, you know, I play what I feel or play by ear.
All right. Question four. A member of this band has appeared in Playgirl.
Bing.
Brett.
Green Day.
Extra credit if you can tell me who.
Billy Joe.
Even extra credit if you can tell me how.
How?
Well, he didn't pose for Playgirl. I mean, but apparently what he did was he flashed the audience once, and then someone was there with a picture, and it ended up, you know, he didn't pose. It's one thing to pose for Playgirl, you know, like the guy from... I'm gonna say Quiet Riot. Let me find out who posed for Playgirl.
I only know Peter Steele from Typo Negative did it. And Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels of WWE?
Oh yeah. Apparently he needed the money. Apparently he thought girls bought that magazine too.
That's the thing. Girls don't buy Playgirl. That's a trick. Because even though it has girl in the name, girls don't buy it. I can't find. I'll get to that at the end. Let's move on to question five. This band had a song banned from radio.
Bing.
Jacob.
Green Day.
Incorrect. It's the Beatles. The Beatles song "I Am the Walrus" was banned by the BBC because of the lyrics "pornographic priestesses" and also "let your knickers down."
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I actually remember that now.
That's some Steel Panther stuff right there.
Whoa, are you trying to say that the Beatles are cooler than Steel Panther?
No.
You're saying all these things, but then you won't go on the limb and actually say them.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm stubborn.
See, they influence Steel Panther too. They're a big impact on music.
I think boobs pretty much influence Steel Panther.
Oh yeah, that helps.
And Hairspray.
All right, final question. Their drummer once milked a dog for milk for his coffee.
Bing. That sounds like something an English person would do, so I'm going to say...
Red Rock?
Beatles.
Look at you with your racist an English person would do. That sounds like something an English person would do.
I wasn't sure about halfway through because I figured they usually drink tea, but I'll stick with the Beatles.
You're incorrect. It's Green Day. Okay. Trey once milked a dog for milk for his coffee. Is that? I mean,
well, was it a male dog or a female dog?
Well, I don't think you can milk a male dog. I'm not. Well, I don't say I know much.
You can milk it, but it's not cream coming out.
Oh, zing! That was a. You just made a dirty joke. Would you drink a coffee with milk from a dog?
No.
Why not?
I don't really drink coffee with milk. Period. I need creamer. I don't think it tastes the same.
What's coffee?
You put the high calorie stuff. See, I got to watch what I'm eating, so I can't put that high calorie creamer in. I got to go skim milk or 1%.
You should just do 20 energy drinks a day like me.
Can you put that in your coffee?
Sure. Why not? I don't see why not.
All right. So the bottom line is Beatles or Green Day. Which one is going to go down? Which one will you remember more another 20 years from now?
Maybe both.
That's being very strong convictions on your opinion there.
The only reason I think maybe both, because I think for sure the Beatles. I think Green Day has a chance too, because like you're saying, their album came out 20 years ago, and that's when I was one, and still when I was, you know, middle school and high school, Green Day was really big.
Well, let's see. We got to tally the final scores here, and let's see how everyone did. It looks like, well, Jacob, you still need to buy more albums. One album in the last 2 years, so that's going to be deduct points. Brett doesn't know what the Beatles are. He thinks that it was a B, not a Beatles, so that's going to be minus points.
That should be minus 50 points, one for every year they've been around.
Okay.
Wow. Wow. You know, I didn't say anything about your score.
Well, I think I have a semi-valid
being
reason.
Racist against the Brits. That is that ejection.
I wasn't being racist. I was just being stereotypical.
You're right. There's a point there. That there's a point made is that with all the rock history from Britain, from the Beatles to the Stones to the Who to Oasis to, is there any British bands now we like? No, of course not. So, what the bottom line is, your homework is to buy some more or download. You don't have to purchase. You can steal some records.
I think I'm going to get some Crash Diet and Soft White 60s.
And Brett, your homework is you have to find a Beatles song that you like.
What?
And you have to find a reason why you like it and spread the cheer to rock fans everywhere.
I'll try to help you.
If I find it, I will spread it like herpes.
Go for either Revolution, because like I said, that one was kind of hard for that time, or Helter Skelter. I'm sure you heard that song before.
Them? That's Helter Skelter?
Helter Skelter is the Beatles, yeah.
I thought that was Motley.
It was a cover.
You're telling me that's not Motley?
Well, it is on the album.
Well, yeah. I mean,
okay,
cover.
Okay. Can I get half point for liking it if Motley did it? Is that the same thing?
That's brown nose points. You need to find a real Beatles song you like. Like, hey, we talked about it. It's up to us. It's up to the fans to keep rock alive. Rock is only as dead as we, the fans, want to kill it. Are we going to give it a Sons of Anarchy death where we pee on it and drown in the toilet from our own waste?
Okay,
or
like Lost.
Are we going to rise it up, put it on the crown, on the throne, and tell the rest of the music world, rock is here to stay, rock and roll all the way? That is our assignment. That is why we're here. This has been The Headliner. My name is Kyle Kreis. I'm here with Jacob. I'm here with Brett. Why can't I play the theme music? And we're going to go out. No, wrong music. We're going to go out with a bang. Not to be redundant. Wrong music. Who cares? This has been The Headliner. I'm Kyle. That's Brett. That's Jacob. We'll see you around. Let me get one more chance on the song. We'll see you around.